Please turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. A few little thoughts that might be spiritually profitable relative to a prayer meeting. Matthew chapter 14. And for sake of time, we'll begin at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost or a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship or the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God," and the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. I draw your attention this evening to four simple prayers that we read about in the Bible. There are no doubt many more, but since this is a prayer meeting, I was thinking how nice it would be if we heard these prayers sometime during the conference weekend. I can't think of a better prayer I'd like to hear coming from those in attendance that are unsaved than, "Lord, save me. Lord, save." Wouldn't it be nice at the end of the conference if we could hear that cry coming from the heart, if not from the lips of some man, woman, boy, or girl who perhaps has been attending the meetings here or elsewhere, or maybe just right in off the street. And the language of their heart would be, "Lord, save me." This is the prayer of salvation. The prayer of salvation. I'm sure you'll agree with me if you've been around the assemblies very long that the gospel meetings we seem to be having these days are not like they used to be. Even the series of gospel meetings are not like they used to be. When I was younger, and perhaps you too, you can recall how the brethren would stay in a certain area for 2 or 3 months. That was not unusual. And they saw souls saved, 20, 30 saved, no question about it. And they went on for God. Now, if you go over 2 weeks, you better be prepared to defend yourself. They just don't want to come out to the meetings. There's something wrong. There are souls that need saved. What if someone hadn't told you and I about the gospel of the grace of God? What if someone hadn't told you and I about the love of God expressed in the death of his Son, the place called Calvary? We'd either be down in hell tonight, or we'd at least be on the way. But someone told us. I thank God I heard the gospel as a little boy in the Sunday school back there in Denora, the gospel hall there. And yet there are many assemblies today, they don't even have a gospel meeting. The conditions under which they're existing, I don't know. I hate to be judgmental, but it must bring a stench to the nostrils of God. Let's take off the sign. If we're not preaching the gospel, take down the sign, gospel hall, as far as I'm concerned. There's something wrong. There doesn't seem to be the zeal within our own hearts and souls as once we had. Souls are perishing all around us. Neighbors, friends, relatives, associates, colleagues, classmates, those with whom we come in contact day by day. They're really going to be in hell if we don't tell them about the love of God expressed in Jesus Christ. No question about it. Wouldn't it be nice if in these conference meetings someone would say, "Lord, save me." I'll tell you, I'd almost get Pentecostal. You don't hear it very often. Don't hear very often, see. We've got to stick to the mandate given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. Whether near or far, regardless of whom we come in contact, bring before them the truth of God. That would be a lovely prayer to hear coming from someone in these conference meetings. "Lord, save me." And you know, unfortunately, as you go about the country, you meet some people that have been having meetings. I'm not talking about anyone specifically. But you meet some people and there's such a lack of zeal. It just like seems like they're going through the motions. You'd think almost that there was a corpse up there. Man, we've got a message. Souls are perishing, and we've got the means whereby they don't have to go down to hell. We present the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope for God's heaven. We've got a wonderful good news to tell them. We should be enthused. Sometimes I believe the lack of enthusiasm and zeal on the part of the speaker has a lot of effect upon the listeners. I remember years ago I was preaching in the open air at a certain college campus back near Pittsburgh. And after I was finished, a man came up to me. He says, "You know," he said, "I don't agree with a thing you've said, but I know you believe it." And he says, "I've got to commend you for taking your stand on something like that." See, he didn't believe what I was telling them. I hope he's saved by now. But you've got to have a little bit of zeal about this. This is a love story. God's love for fallen man in the person of his son. Another thing I think we have to be very careful about too is this easy believism. I don't know how many people I've met down through the years, and especially in the latter years. How did you get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I know that. I know that. That's scripture. Very clear from the scripture. But was there ever any conviction of sin? I could have told you that long before I got saved. In fact, as some of you know, I was preaching the gospel before I got saved. So, having it in your head and in your heart are not the same thing. So we've got to be careful that the ones to whom we speak are experiencing the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that comes by giving them the Word of God. You can't go wrong by giving them the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Where do you get to faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I remember one time a woman came up to me at the end of tent meetings, and she says, "My son just got saved." He was a veteran from the Korean War. She says, "He's down at the Veterans Hospital down there in Pittsburgh, not far from where you're at in the School of Engineering. Call him in and see if he's really saved." She said he professed to be saved in the Veterans Hospital. So I called him in. Nice fellow. We sat in the conference room there, and I said, tell me how you got saved. He said, "Well," he says, "I was up there on the hill of the Veterans Hospital, and two girls came along. They call them candy stripers." And he says, "They opened this little booklet put out by a certain organization called the Four Spiritual Laws. 1, 2, 3, 4. And if you answer yes to all of them, that's great." He says, "I said yes to all of them." He said, "So I'm saved." I said, "You're no more saved than my dog." And to prove it, he hit me. He hit me. Then he cursed God. Now that's not fair to that man. Telling him all you have to do is to say A, B, C, D, you've got it. There's got to be conviction of sin. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of the soul as is the precious blood of Christ. Until you realize you're lost, you're not even a candidate for God's salvation. And that's something we have to get back to, I'm afraid, in some places. Preaching sin black and hell hot. Preaching Jesus Christ crucified, crowned, and coming again. Preaching the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope. This social gospel of soup, soap, and sunshine, away with it. Some places they never mention hell anymore. I'm talking about assemblies. Rarely do you ever hear them mention hell, and rarely do they ever mention sin. What's wrong? I'll tell you, the greatest hellfire preacher that ever preached was Jesus Christ. But wouldn't it be nice if we heard that prayer, "Lord, save me," coming from someone in these conference meetings? Let's take a look at another short prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Chapter 4 and verse 9. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border or coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." My, isn't that a short prayer? And so personal. So personal. Me, 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 my. He knew he needed help. But here we have the prayer of security. Keep me. Keep me from evil. And I'll tell you, we're living in evil days. I never thought I'd ever live to see the days in which we find ourselves living as we find ourselves living today. There's no such thing as sin anymore. I can't imagine anyone doing anything that someone would point to and say, that's a sin. I was telling someone the other day, the last time I saw sin was in an advertisement for a perfume. It was called My Sin. You don't read about sin in newspapers. They call it every other thing. Let's call it what God calls it. It's sin. But in any case, it's nice to know that he was concerned about being kept from evil. He says, keep me. So it's not only save me, but it's also keep me. You know, once you're saved, then the struggle begins. You know, God didn't promise us a rose garden. This idea of positive thinking and prosperity thinking and things like that. You won't find that in the Word of God. I'll tell you, those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whether near or even at a distance, they still had to suffer. They still had to pay the price. There's a price to be paid to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to be crying continually, keep me. Keep me from evil, he says, because there's evil all around us. Remember in the real Lord's Prayer of John chapter 17, there in verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I pray not that thou wouldst take them from the world, but that thou wouldst keep them from the evil. We're here in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's evil all around us. And we've got to be careful. That was part of the so-called Lord's Prayer back in Matthew 6 there. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And I'll tell you, it's not easy today for young Christians especially. It's bad enough for us older ones. I'll tell you, it's very difficult for teenage Christians today. They're facing problems and testings and trials and temptations that some of us older Christians know nothing about. The peer pressure is terrible. It's bad enough for the unsaved. But for the Christian who's trying to live a life for Christ, I'll tell you, they need prayer. And so he expresses himself here. And you notice it was granted too. It's nice to know that God is not only a prayer hearing, but he's also a prayer answering Heavenly Father. And we are kept. We're kept by the power of God. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So we not only have salvation, the prayer, Lord, save me, we also have the security, Lord, keep me. And along that same line, we might mention, too, there are so many people today, they think you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. If I never believed anything, I wouldn't believe that. I wouldn't be able to put my head upon the pillow tonight if I thought that maybe I'm not really saved. Or maybe I've done something this day that is grieving my Heavenly Father, and therefore I've lost my communion and fellowship with him, and also my relationship. It's bad enough losing your fellowship and communion. That's sad. But imagine losing your relationship. Once a child, always a child. Regardless of what my child will do, and sometimes they've done things that grieve me terribly, I couldn't say, well, that's not my son. That's not my daughter. And so it is with God. And what does he do? He chastises his own. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I'm sure every one of us here tonight who are children of God, we've experienced, to some degree at least, the chastening hand of God, and we should thank God for it. We should thank God, too, that he didn't answer all of our prayers. Sometimes, you know, we pray for things that are not in his will. Say, I've often told the Lord, now, if I'm not supposed to do this or go there, don't open that door, even a little crack, because I'll just go right through it. See, I want the door completely shut, so there's no question I want to be in his will, regardless of what the problem is. See. But in any case, we have the prayer of security. It's nice to know that once in Christ forever. I love that beautiful Holy Spirit chapter 8 of Romans. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What a way to start. And the last two verses at the end, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't it nice to know that once in Christ forever. So that will be perhaps the cry, the inaudible cry of some of us in the conference. Keep me, Lord. Keep me from the evil. My, you wouldn't want to be living and saved, we'll save for a number of years, then do something that will bring shame to the name of Christ. My dad taught me that years ago when I first got saved, and I wasn't saved till I was 30. He said, son, he says, guard your name. But he says, above all, guard the name of Jesus Christ. He says, your name doesn't mean a thing when you compare it to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because people are watching you. They're watching what you say, where you go, what you do. And they're so anxious to find fault with you. So we should thank God we have the power within us. And let me say this. One of the first verses that I remember when I was saved, I didn't know anyone else knew was in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. He'll make a way to escape. We'll be able to bear it. You know, that's kept me out of a lot of trouble. You know, you have an idea, well, maybe it's all right to do this or go there, whatever it might be, and that verse comes before you. God is faithful. He'll make a way of escape. So he can deliver us from evil and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We read in the benediction of Jude. Now let's take a look at another verse in Psalm 86. I'll finish on time, promise. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Here we have the prayer of scholarship. You know, there's 17 verses in this Psalm 86, and the deity is found in every one of them. Every verse makes reference to God. 15 times, I believe it is, we read of, or 11 times we read the word Lord, and 5 times we read the word God. But he's referred to in every one of those 17 verses. But the prayer we have brought before us here is one of scholarship. Teach me. Teach me. And you know, that's a cry that should come from the hearts of all of us as we sit under the ministry of the Word of God in these conference weekend here. We want to be taught. There's so much we don't know. And there's so many things that we once knew that we forgot. And the older I get, the easier it is for me to forget them. And maybe you're the same way. So who's going to teach us? Well, in 1 John 2 and verse 27, you need not that any man teach you. That doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to what the man's telling you if he's ministering the word of God, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the teaching. See, Nehemiah 9 and verse 20, thou hast given them thy Holy Spirit, thy Spirit, to teach them. And he's still able to teach us today. Who was it that taught us the truth of gathering to the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ? No mere man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, Peter tells us. And it's the same Holy Spirit that teaches us today the truth of baptism and the breaking of bread and the truth of the priesthood of believers and the presidency of the Holy Spirit of God and the truth regarding the rapture of the church and so on. The Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to go to a seminary to learn these truths. We have the Word of God. So the cry that should come from our heart in these conference meetings is, Lord, teach me. And there's no one here that knows it all. There's no one here that knows it all, regardless of how long you've been saved, regardless of how long you've been reading the book. No. We all are students. There's so much to learn. We'll never know it all. You never graduate from the school of God, see. So we know that should be our cry as we look forward to the ministry of God's Word and the Bible study and so on during these conference meetings. And much could be said about that. But it's the Spirit of God that does the teaching, and we thank him. In fact, you recall in the upper room ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 14, there in verse 26, he reminds them that another comforter is going to come, and he is going to teach them all things. Then in chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, he will guide you into all truth. And there we have the proof from the Lord Jesus Christ himself that what we learn comes from the Word of God, holy men of God exercise to put it down into the writing, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the teaching. And you wouldn't want a better teacher than the Holy Spirit of God, because he is there, as we read in that same upper room ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ says, to glorify me, to speak well of me. Now, for the last scripture, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. This is a well-known portion of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 6, having to do with Isaiah's vision, but we'll turn to the 8th verse. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Send me. My, wouldn't it be nice, especially to have some young man in the audience during this weekend, saved by the grace of God, and be so touched with the ministry of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit of God in his soul that he'd have a desire to say from his heart, send me. Souls are perishing. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? Wouldn't it be nice if some young man would say, I learned at that conference weekend that I should be doing more for the Lord. And that doesn't mean necessarily out to the foreign field or anything like that, although that'd be nice too. There's a lot of room out there. But I'll tell you, there's a missionary field right here in this greater metropolitan area of Los Angeles. I was figuring one time, about a year or so ago, the number of assemblies they have per population over in Zambia. And if we had the same proportion of assemblies here in Los Angeles, there'd be over 1,800 assemblies. There's a lot of room here. There's millions of people here, most of them perishing in their sin. Most of them never heard the gospel, the grace of God. And it doesn't seem fair that we have the way whereby they can have the assurance of salvation and a place in heaven, and we're not doing the best we can to see that they hear it. There's something wrong. It would be nice if some young man in one of the audiences in the next few hours, you might say, today and tomorrow and the next day, Lord willing, that have the Spirit of God through God's Word touch their heart, and the language of their heart would be, send me, send me. It'd be the prayer of service. So we have the prayer of salvation, save me. The prayer of security, keep me. The prayer of scholarship, teach me. And the prayer of service, send me. May the Lord bless his word.